We've been talking about the last 3 weeks, and this is the fourth session, about breaking barriers. We're going to continue in that area here today, and I'm really excited about this. Again, we have these on CD, so if you haven't got in one of these services, or even if you were, go ahead and pick up a free CD on the way out and catch up to date, and then pass it on to someone else. Amen? Praise God. First week, we talked about what are barriers. Second week, we talked about identifying your barriers. Last week, we talked about how barriers are formed in a person's life. And today, we're going to continue along that line. And first of all, we looked at the definition from the Webster's Dictionary. Amen? You know, Brother Webster, Noah Webster was a Christian man. How many of you know that? And nowadays, the new Webster's Dictionary, they've taken all the verses and all the scripture out of that to de-scripture, you know, which they probably shouldn't have done. But if you go to the 1828 Webster's, the original dictionary, that thing is about that thick, you know, because it has Bible definitions and scriptures for every word that's used. It's pretty powerful. But he said this, that a barrier is anything that restrains or obstructs progress. Stop and think about that. Anything that restrains or obstructs progress, access. Number two, he said, a limit or a boundary of any kind. A limit or a boundary of any kind. Now, the Spirit of God began to talk to me about lifting some barriers in our lives. Barriers and boundaries and limitations in our lives. Because all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, there are certain limitations that we've placed upon ourselves. And that's why we're talking about this. And we're not only going to tell you how to, you know, figure out where the boundaries came from. We're going to tell you how to get out of them. How to get out of them. That's the whole purpose of this right here. But we talked about, we gave you some names of some modern day in the last 100 years, people that invented different things. And we looked at the Wright brothers. We looked at Thomas Edison and people that have achieved things beyond the ordinary. In other words, they were barrier breakers. We looked at Chuck Yeager, who broke the sound barrier. Amen. And went beyond the speed of sound. Hallelujah. Remember that service? We saw a video of that. And but one of the things that I want to bring out again is that all these men and women had in common was that they were it was their ability, think about this, to dream and to think beyond their present circumstances. Their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. Now, it's interesting because all the resources that God has placed in the earth, we're all here in the Garden of Eden. The precious metals and the silver and the gold and all the things that, you know, I mean, after all, when you build something, it has to come from this earth, right? It's not, you're not getting material from outer space. It's coming from this earth. The ability to create an airplane was in the book, in Genesis. All the resources were there, okay? All the resources to create an automobile were there in the Garden of Eden, but no one discovered it, you see. And God has placed all the resources, literally, here in the earth, and God, through Jesus Christ, has placed all the resources in your spirit of the things that you need to be a success in this life. There's a scripture in Proverbs, you know, Solomon was, he was considered the wisest man that ever lived on the planet earth till Jesus showed up. And then he said, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen? And Solomon said this, he said in one of the Proverbs, he says that sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous. Say, for the righteous. I think some people read that as from the righteous. Like God says, I got some wisdom here, and kind of dangle the carrot, but you can't have it. No, God says sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous, praise God. Not from the righteous, for the righteous. And so there's wisdom that has been laid up for every single one of you here in this room. Wisdom. Now, knowledge is just input, information, knowledge. But wisdom is the output, the application of knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people in this earth that have degrees as long as their name. We're not criticizing that, but, you know, they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom. But knowledge and wisdom are two separate things. Knowledge is just input, information coming in. But wisdom is the application of that knowledge that God places on the inside of you. See, that's one of the best things about, one of the, not the only thing, but one of the good things about when you're in a church service like this. And what's going on here is your information from the Scripture is being downloaded into your spirit. And you may think, and even when you read your Bible sometimes, you may think, is this doing me any good? I feel pretty dry. I just read this verse or I read this chapter. I don't feel like it's doing anything. But listen, you're downloading knowledge of the Word of God inside your heart. And at the time of need, the Holy Spirit will take a scripture, because He's one of His jobs is to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you, right? Well, how can He bring something to your remembrance that hasn't been placed in there originally? Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit, He'll take the knowledge of God's Word inside your spirit. And when you're praying, He'll draw up that knowledge or scripture, bring it to your mind and say, oh, yeah, I see. I know what to do right now. Amen? I'm really jumping ahead of myself here this morning. But a barrier is a limit or a boundary of any kind. And the thing that was dear and precious to all these people that invented in our lifetime, and then people that we read about in the Bible, was their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. Now, last week we talked about how barriers are formed, and we looked at this scripture. Let's go over there again in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where the scripture says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. All right. So lack of knowledge is one of the first reasons how barriers are formed. Lack of knowledge. Praise God. Now in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, the Bible says that through knowledge the just shall be delivered. See the latter part of that verse right there. Through knowledge the just shall be delivered. Now, go over to 2 Peter chapter 3 for a minute here. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Out of the King James in this particular translation. We'll look at some other translations here today. Some of the other things. But notice 2 Peter 3, verse 18. It says that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge. Say knowledge. Knowledge. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory both now and forever. Amen. Now notice here that Peter says that we're to grow in grace and in the what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or let me say it like this. Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Word of God. Because Jesus is the Word, isn't He? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you're talking about the Word, you're talking about Jesus, because He is the living Word. And church is supposed to be a place where you're getting filled with knowledge of not Reader's Digest. See, when I grew up, the preacher, one of the preachers that we had, pastors that we had, he would read more out of the Reader's Digest than he would the Bible. Amen. And I looked around and people were falling asleep, and I don't blame them. That might be the only place they can get some rest during the week. But I'm telling you what. They say even a fly will not land on a hot stove. Think about that. Won't land on a hot stove. So if you're red hot for God, the devil's not going to land on you. Amen. Because he's going to buzz around. He's going to say, and he's called Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. That's what Jesus said. I don't think flies are from the pit of hell. You know, I knew the story of a guy that had one of these big RVs, you know, as a traveling minister. And he knew of a guy that had one of these big, long, you know, mobile homes, you know, and driving. And he said a fly got got inside the cabin where he was driving. He started swatting that thing, a little tiny fly, you know. He lost his course of where he was and rolled the RV over into a ditch. Think about that. He got distracted because of a little fly. Now, when you think about the enormity of a vehicle as long as this room right here, and yet this little tiny fly had the ability to distract that person. And Jesus said, Satan is Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. And a lot of times it's just those little distracting things that little things that are going on around you, get your eyes off of what's really important. Amen? But don't let the devil distract you. Don't let your kids distract you. Don't let your bills distract you. Don't let your husband, your wife, whatever, do not let that distract you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that amen back there. Amen. But he says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to grow in this knowledge. Okay. Now, last week, we talked about Joshua and Caleb. I love talking about these guys because of the spirit that they had and the spirit that they possessed. Now, keep in mind, these are Old Testament people. Now, these were not born-again people that nobody could be born again until Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, what about Israel? What about all the Old Testament believers? Well, they were followers. They were servants of Jesus, or God, but they were not sons yet. How many sons of God that we have in here right now? Raise your hand. You women too. Amen. Now, that's not sacrilegious. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And we're called the sons. The Bible says, beloved, now. And John, 1 John, he says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now, I didn't say the son of God. There's a difference. But you are a son of God. It's just like if you have five sons, okay? One is not a son more than someone else. You know, this is Jeff, my son. This is Ralph, my son, you know. This is Billy Bot, my son, you know. Probably hates his name, but, you know, you get the point. And one is not less of a son than the other. They're all his sons. You're not less of a son when you come to Jesus. You become a child of God. You become a son of God, even the girls. Amen? And the Bible says, beloved, now in this earth, we are, do you ever read your Bible where it says that? Now we are the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Say right now. Well, I sure don't feel like a son of God, Brother Keith, you know. Well, don't check your feelings. Check the Bible. Amen. 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 See, that's where people start, you know, the touchy feeling, you know. They check their feelings instead of checking the Word. Check the Word of God. There's a lot of people that check the weather forecast all the time. People check their bodies all the time. No, check the Word of God. What does God say about you? You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. That means you have right standing with Almighty God. Now, last week, we saw that Joshua and Caleb, and I just want to kind of review this real quickly here. But if you ever bounce, go to Numbers chapter 13 for a minute here. Just hold your place there. And we're just going to read a couple of verses here until we move on today. Let me catch you up to date. Israel had just come through the Red Sea and conquered Jericho. In Egypt, the Egyptians were drowned and their enemy was drowned that tagged them for 410 years, was destroyed in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Now God's getting ready to bring them into the Promised Land, so the Lord instructed Moses at this point. He's the leader. And he told Moses to pick out 12 leaders out of the 12 tribes. There were 12 tribes in Israel. There was over 2 million Israelites at this time in the wilderness. And the Lord says, pick 12 of the leaders out of each one of those, and I want you to send them up to spy out the Promised Land for 40 days and 40 nights. So that's exactly what happened. So Moses did exactly what God said, picked out 12 leaders, all right? And these are the heads of the tribe. So he sends them up. And after 40 days, they came back. You remember the story. And they brought back proof of the fruit. And they had, you know, brought grapes and pomegranates and all these different proof that there was a good land. And so as they came back, they said, whoa, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. The land is surely a land that flows with milk and honey and the fruit. And here's proof of it. You know, remember we talked about that last week? And so the Lord told Moses, he said in chapter 13, he says in the first part, he says, send men up, for I've given it to them to spy out the land of Israel, for I've already given it to them. Now, that's interesting because they're still back in the wilderness and God says, I've already given it to them. Sure don't sound like they're in there yet. But God says, see, God is speaking. He's calling things that be not as though they were. That's the God that we serve. He calls those things that be not as though they are. God says, you're already healed. God says, you're prosperous. God says, you're delivered. He calls that. So how do we call it? Amen? Remember that situation where Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember that? Some say thou art John the Baptist raised from the dead or one of the prophets, you know. But he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's what you say about God and about Jesus that will make the cutting edge difference in your life. When you say, Jesus is my healer, he becomes that to you. When you say, Jesus is my provider, when you got bills stacking. See, I know what that's like. I've been there before. I've been there when the financial pressure in a few years back that was so intense that my mind was caving in on me. Didn't know where to go. Didn't have any rich relatives to go to. But I got a rich daddy. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And what you say about God is what he becomes to you. When you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what he becomes to you. Hallelujah. Now, if you say something about him that's not true, that's what's going to happen to you as well. Amen. Now, what happened is these 12 spies came back from 40 days. 10 of them out of 12. But think about this. 10 of them out of 12 came back with an evil report. Now, let's pick up in verse 32. That's Numbers 13, verse 32. Then they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw then are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which are come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Isn't that interesting? Now, why did they come to this conclusion? Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, were two out of 12, the minority that came back and said, hey, look, I know there's giants there, but God's bigger. God's greater. Now stop and think about this today. What is today, the 17th day of March? What is it in your life today, right now, presently, that seems like an impossible task before you? What is it that's in your life? There's some kind of situation that you're, you know, it could be anything. It could be physical. It could be financial. It could be, I don't know, it could be anything, social. And it looks like this impossible task before you, like this giant, you know what I mean? Like they said, there's giants in the land. Well, sometimes our circumstances are like giants before us. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I can tell by the look on your face. And the good news becomes bad news. It's like, trying to put my sad face on. You understand? I can't do it right now. Praise God. I could put the Burger King mask on. If you were here for that one, okay. Everybody run out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, why did these guys come to this conclusion here? The 10 came back and said, yeah, there's great potential here. There's great fruit here. But guess what? There's giants in the land. And we notice what they said. They said, we're like grasshoppers. Now, where did they come to that conclusion? God didn't tell them that. They came to that conclusion themselves. Now, why would they say that? Why would they say, oh, we're nothing. You know, we can't do this. The reason being is because they didn't focus on what the Lord had said to Moses about, look, I've already given you the land. The issue is not how many giants are there or how big they are. The issue is God said, you can have this. This belongs to you and I'll go possess it. Hallelujah. See, they began, and we're going to talk about this today, they had small thinking. How do you see yourself today? See, we're not just doing a history thing here today, said this happened, you know, a couple thousand years ago. Here's what happened in Israel. But what we're going to do is we're going to tie this in today about the way that we think today, because the Scripture tells us plainly, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think defeat, you will act defeat. If you think poverty, you will walk out in poverty. If you think sickness, you will walk out sickness. And see, there's a lot of people that have an outward profession of what God's Word says, but they have a different picture on the inside. Oh, I know the Word of God says, by His stripes I'm healed. But their inner image is still not there yet. How do we change that? Because we've all had to deal with that. We've all had to deal with it. The way that you change your inner image is when you start saying what God... Remember that song, Oh, Say, Can You See? Amen. The one you say something, you see it. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, you know, the actual Greek says, remember it says she said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Remember that? The Greek says she kept saying. I think the Amplified bears that out. She kept saying. She kept saying over and over again. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. God only knows how many times she said that. But what was going on here? She's creating an image, an inner image, because she had heard of other people doing that. Because she heard of Jesus. So someone had to tell her that there were people in that same situation that got their way to Jesus, and when they touched him, they were made whole of whatever infirmity they had. Well, she had all the odds stacked up against her. She had the Levitical law said that a woman with an issue of blood could not even be in public around other people. She had to be away from the general public. Not only that, she had to travel where Jesus was. What if it was 20 miles in that hot sun? And she's constantly bleeding. She had a hemorrhage of blood. So she's probably anemic. She's probably weak. You know, she couldn't catch a cab or something like that. She had spent all that she had on the doctors. She had gone through the whole list, including Dr. Seuss. I mean, she went down the list of doctor, and the Bible says she ran out of her money. There was no hope left. She was broke. She was sick and diseased, and all hope was gone. But somebody, hallelujah, somebody shared with her about Jesus. And so her hope started to rise up on the inside of her. She says, I don't care where he's at. I got to get to him. So what's going on here? There's an inner image that's being changed. Inner image. And I'll share a story about this in just a minute here. A true story. But here's the thing, is that as she was going, you can just imagine the thoughts. She had to find out where Jesus was. So she sets out on foot to get there. And you can just imagine the thoughts that are going through her mind saying, you'll never make it. You will die on the road. She probably looked up and saw buzzards flying around her head. And the devil's there saying, you'll never make it, you'll never make it. But she got her way, she made her way. And then when she found out where Jesus was, there was a crowd of people so much around him that she couldn't even get through to touch him. She finally shows up, she's there where he is, and now, how am I going to get through? And the Bible says she fought her way through the press. Amen? See, even the press was back then. A little different press. But she probably got elbowed and kneed and punched and everything else to fight her way. And she finally grabbed the hold of Jesus, the hem of his garment. Now, Jesus didn't know that was even going on. But he perceived that when she touched his garment, he stopped. He said, who touched me? He didn't really know who it was. But he perceived that virtue or power had gone out of him. And the disciples said, what do you mean, Jesus? Everybody's touching you here. He said, no, someone made a demand on my power. And he looked and saw her, and she began to tell him everything. And she was made whole. She was made healed and made whole. She had opposition. This woman with the issue of blood, that's all she's referred to. It didn't call her by name. It says, this is the woman with the issue of blood. Now she's no longer the woman with the issue of blood. You see, her inner image began to change by what she said. She said, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. If I could just get to them, I will be made whole. What if you said that coming to church today? I'm getting answers today. I'm coming. And you're driving down the parkway and you're like, I am going to get some answers today, bless God. Today, I'm getting answers today. I draw upon the wisdom of God. And guess what's going to happen? A bucket load of wisdom is going to come flowing out of this boy and flowing into you for the wisdom and the answers that you need. Because why? You make a demand on the gift of God. When you make a demand on the gift of God, now the preacher has his part. The minister has his part in prayer and study and so forth and so on. But you as a person in the church, you have a part too to come hungry and receptive and open and making a demand on the gift of God. See, I wouldn't tell you something that we haven't done ourselves and still do to this day. There have been many, many times, that Lynn and I will go, and our family will go off to a conference, you know, and we go to about 3 conferences a year so that we can get tanked up, fed, get the Word of God on the inside of us so that we can continue doing effectively what we're called to do here. But when we go to a meeting, we put our faith out and say, no, Lord, before we ever show, before the meeting ever starts, we're putting our faith out right now that you will use that speaker or speakers and that you will speak through them and that you would anoint them and that we'll have wisdom for whatever we're dealing with right now. Amen. And oh, it just never fails. Praise. Never fails. I've been in meetings sometimes where the guy will step down off the big platform, 8 foot up in there, come down and stand right in front of us. And he'll say something like this, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. He'll start talking and we're like, he could reach out and touch them. And he'll start saying something that we were believing God for.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
When I was going to Bible school and I was engaged to my wife, you know, there was a little conflict in our relationship. And here's what it was. Y'all want to know what that was, don't you? She felt called. This is before she was her first year at Bible school. Her second year, my first year. And we were engaged to get married. And there's a little conflict here because she felt called to the mission field. And I felt called to pastor. So I'm thinking, Lord, how's this going to work out? So it kind of, not really, it really bothered me. I'm like, Lord, how's this going to work out? Because I feel, you know, I mean, I'll support a missionary. We do now, you know. We'll write them a big fat check and bless them. Amen. Praise God. We'll continue to do that. But it's not in my heart to go there myself and travel. It's just not in my heart to do that. And so she was feeling this other thing. Well, there was a guy, one of our instructors, and his name was Tom Pickens. He was an assistant for Fred Price many years in California, in Los Angeles. And he's teaching, and this guy would stand right behind the pulpit the whole time and teach like this. The whole time. But on this one day, he moved to the side of the pulpit. He comes down off the stage, comes and stands in front of me. I may be about right where you're at, right there, you know, about that far away. And he starts prophesying and teaching and saying by the Spirit of God, he goes, some of you are pastors, some of you are missionaries, and God's going to blend you two together and can make a powerful ministry. You don't need to worry about it, and so forth and so on. And he went back up on the stage and continued writing his notes. I got chills thinking about it right now. I think I got the tape from that. That was in 1982. And I thought, that was like God coming down and say, and slap you in the face and say, here. Now, that's not like an arm growing out or a disease being healed, but that's wisdom coming. And I submit to say to you that most of the time, God will use our mouth to bring victory and deliverance, just like he's doing today. A word in due season, how good it is. Amen? That God will just breathe into you the thing that you need to get you over that mound that you've been coming up against. You can't seem to jump over it. Okay? But the word of the Lord and the wind of the Spirit will lift you up over that thing. It's kind of, what good's a sailboat without wind? It ain't going to do anything but plop over. So a sailboat depends on the wind. We depend on the Holy Ghost, on the Word of God. So this woman with the issue of blood had to change her inside image instead of seeing herself sick and broken, defeated. And well, I tell you what, when she began to say that, she touched Jesus, she was instantly healed. Instantly healed. Think about that. How important is the inner image that you have? Now, here's where why, the reason why some of us have had problems in this area is because of words that were spoken over us. Remember the statement, we were growing up, you know, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names can't hurt me, words can't hurt me. That's the absolute furthest thing from the truth. Sometimes you'd rather get hit with a stone or something or a brick, or actually a piece of wood would be better, you know. And then it'll heal up. But we're talking about words that can stay with people for 20, 30, 80, 50 years. And those words sometimes have to be uprooted. They have to be uprooted. Because well-meaning people sometimes that don't even realize that they can be an instrument of the devil to speak words from Satan to discourage a person, to put them down, to criticize them. Oh, you're never going to amount to anything. People say things like that. Dummy, stupid. And people say things like, these are words. And words are seeds. But listen, God never created a dummy. God never created a stupid. God never, never created a failure. But the devil wants to help, wants you and I, he wants you to believe his image rather than the image that God has about us. Amen? Small thinking can really limit us. But we're coming up. We're coming out of the box. We're thinking bigger. Praise God. Why? Because God's in our lives. If the Lord's in our lives, my Lord, there's no limitations what we can do. You as a person, you as an individual, there's nothing that you cannot do with God who lives on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater one dwells on the inside of you. Close your eyes for a minute. Don't fall asleep. Say this out loud. Say, I see myself, totally healed. Free from all pain, all sickness, and all disease. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, when you keep repeating everything I'm saying here, I should have said the end of that, okay? Well, when we say what God's word says about us, now this is going to take a little bit of diligence and effort. Now, Paul Youngie Cho, who was the pastor of the largest church, one of the largest churches in the world. He's got, I think, about 1 million members, you know, in Seoul, Korea. And many years ago, now he actually came to, when I was going to Bible school, he came and spoke to the students that were there, and they announced that Paul Youngie Cho was going to come. We're like, whoa, this is so cool, you know. We'd have people like Teal Osborne show up and minister, Hilton Sutton, all these guys, these great pioneers of the faith that are now in heaven, you know, Oral Roberts and people like that, and coming in, Lester Sumrall, come and impart to us. Lester Sumrall came and spoke for a whole week one time about his relationship with Smith Wigglesworth. He was personal friends with him. I mean, those were just such valuable times. And Youngie Cho, I remember him sharing this, and he said there's a woman one time in his congregation that had a terminal disease. Now, some of you know, you've heard this before, you're going to hear it again. But there's a doctor's report said you only have so long to live. You have a terminal disease. Not sure what that disease was. Make a long story short, she scheduled an appointment. She was a member of his church. She came to him and told him about the problem, what the doctors had said, you know. And so they sat down. He said, whatever her name was, he said, can you see yourself healed? She says, what do you mean? That was obvious by that statement. She didn't see it. He said, can you see yourself healed? She goes, I'm not sure what you mean. And then he said this. He says, will you do what I tell you to do? She goes, yes. He says, I want you to go home. And I think he gave her three scriptures, maybe something like that. And they were all just healing verses. He gave her these scriptures. And he says, I want you to write these each 10,000 times apiece. Now, most people today would look at that and said, I feel a leading to go to the next church. Because it involves work and effort. But listen, Sometimes to get what you want, you have to dig, you have to find, you have to do some, put some effort and labor into it. God blesses the diligent, not the lazy. Amen. And she went home and she just did what the man said, did what the pastor said. She got a big tablet out, you know, began to write out the scripture, write out the scripture, write out the scripture over and over again. 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, you know, healing verses, right? Well, she's coming back a couple of weeks later. And they said her face was like a neon sign in the dark. So they sit down. She's just glowing, you know. And he says, well, tell me what's going on. And she began to rattle off the scripture to him. She says, I see myself healed.
Amen.
I see myself healed. Pastor Chaw. You know, I see myself healed. Well, she went back to the doctor, and you know the rest of the story. They couldn't find anything in her.
Praise the Lord.
Okay? So when you lay the x-ray up against this x-ray, you realize there was something here. Now there's nothing here. What happened? Inner image. Inner image. If we take the time... Now what's interesting is that the New Testament, the four Gospels, are a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But the epistles are an x-ray of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. See, that there's a difference between a picture and an x-ray. Because an x-ray will show you things your natural eyes can't see. Now, we see in the four Gospels, we see Jesus going to the cross, being lashed and whipped and all this kind of stuff. But we see him being raised from the dead. But we don't see until you get over into the epistles, the letters to the church, you know, Corinthians and Romans and Thessalonians and so forth, and these books. And Peter, and 1 and 2 Peter, and Titus. It's in these epistles that you see an x-ray of what happened during the 3 days and three nights where Jesus was in the heart of the earth, where he became sin. That he became our punishment. Where he took our sins and he took our sicknesses. It's in the epistles that you see the x-ray of what Jesus did for you. Amen? Legally speaking, every one of you in this room are healed right now. Legally speaking, every one of you, no matter what situation you have in your body, you are legally healed. Well, then how come I'm not, Pastor Keith? Because we have to get the inner image of what God says about us down on the inside of us, that it takes root on the inside of us instead of listening to General Hospital and everything else. Is that still a soap opera out there? I don't know. As the stomach turns, whatever. See, some people have more of a heart. Brother Copeland said that one time. There's a woman that was calling for healing, you know, and he says, it's so funny. He was on the phone with her, you know, and her husband was in the other side of the house, and he says, I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to open up the scripture. And then he heard her whisper. She says, honey, where's my Bible? Do you know where it's at? Well, that's not a good picture, is it?
No.
Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is probably the reason why so few people engage in it. Thinking, pondering, meditating. Meditate in it by his stripes. What if you just said that 1 Peter 2:24 over and over and over again? I wasn't planning on talking about healing today, but here's how the Holy Spirit's leading us. What if you just said over and over again, by his stripes, I am healed. Say it. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. What's going to happen when you do that? Your inner image is going to line up with what God's word says, and then all of a sudden, here it comes. It just comes. Hallelujah. Now, you don't have to figure out how it's going to come or which way it's going to come. You just know it's going to come. That's where we miss it a lot of times, because we're trying to mentally figure out, okay, if I do this, then how's that going to happen? Don't play God's part. Your job is to simply believe God's word. Amen? Isn't that right, Brother Tom? Our job is to simply believe God's word. Say what God's word says. Believe God's word. And then the miraculous is going to take place. Now, we're talking about breaking barriers in your life. There's always going to be a first time for everything. Okay? So let's take ourselves out of our little comfort zone, so to speak, and let's press into the things that God has for us. Oh, let's just stop and thank Him for a minute here. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Yeah, yeah. Who's, thank You, Holy Ghost. Who's been having some problems with your back right now? Would you stand up? You've been having some problems with your back. Okay. Okay. Okay, here's what the Lord said. Put your hand on your back right now. Just reach back there. Okay. Now, if the Lord didn't say call you forward, we would have done that if He said that. Here's how He instructed me to do this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God, these four people that are standing, these precious people that are standing right now, Father, You took their pain. You took their infirmity. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we command every disc, every tendon, every part of the backs of the people that are standing right now, we command the healing power of God to flow into them, driving out pain, driving out discomfort from this moment forward. By Jesus' stripes, You are healed. You are delivered. You are set free. So thank You, Lord. Now just begin to move around. Thank God for liberty and freedom. Glory be to God. Thank You, Lord. Liberty, freedom, soundness, wholeness in your back. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You may be seated. I love when God does that. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's go to one more scripture and we'll close here. We're almost out of time here. Acts chapter 4. What we're emphasizing today is this: get out of this small thinking. Think big. Think big because God's big. It's amazing how we can think we're thinking big, and then God comes along and says, all right, you ain't seen nothing yet. Remember the story I shared with you about the golf club? Yeah. Remember that guy did something for a dignitary overseas and some sheik in the Far East? He says, what can I do for you? You've been a blessing to me in the oil business. You know, he says, well, I'd like a golf club. He's thinking, you know, I'd get a nice driver. Well, long story short, he got a phone call and says, your golf club is now ready. He said, he'll take you to it. And they drove up and they showed him this 18-hole golf course. Okay? See, he's thinking golf club. The sheik is thinking golf club. 18 holes. True story. Bill Winston talked about it. Thank You, Lord Jesus. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 21... and we'll close as we read this today. The early church was threatened by the authorities about not preaching anymore because a guy got healed. Remember the guy that was lame got healed and made the religious people upset. Now sometimes the gospel makes people mad and makes other people glad. But don't be moved by the cheers or the jeers.
Amen.
Okay? If someone quits talking to you because you're a believer, just pray for them. Don't take offense to it. Don't take it personally. Amen. But notice in Acts 4, verse 21, it says, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, all the men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was about 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. First time he got healed, 40 years old, 23 it says. And being let go, the disciples went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now notice here that they went to their own what? Company. That's the local church. There's power in the local church. Verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is within. Now, it's interesting here as we close here that in the book of Acts, there's a lot of places that it just says they prayed. That they prayed. But it doesn't tell you what they prayed. It just says, you know, they bowed and they prayed and what have you. But what's interesting in this particular situation, it's actually recorded the prayer that they prayed, the essence of it. So let's read this. Now they're being threatened, right? They're being threatened to never preach or teach anymore. They will be severely persecuted, beat. Now, verse 24, here's what they reported. They went back to their own company. It says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them is. Now, here's what I want you to see right here. And I love this. The Lord showed me this many, many years ago and opened my eyes to this. They did not pray the problem. They prayed the answer. They prayed the answer. They didn't go back to God and say, oh, God, you know what they're saying about us? Do you know how hard it's been here, Lord? Oh, God. The way some people pray. No, what did they pray? All they said was, Lord, verse 24, you are God. You have made heaven, notice this, heaven, earth, the sea, and all them is. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, even against his Christ. Amen. And then if you look down at verse 29, it says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word by the stretching forth of thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of our holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place, notice the place, the building where they were was shaken, where they assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Boy, this is some kind of a group gathering here, isn't it? Some people get nervous when a person shakes under the power of God. What about a whole building? Amen. That's like us being right here all of a sudden. Yeah. Feels like an earthquake. That can happen. Amen?
Amen.
But we're talking about getting rid of this small thinking here. And let me just leave you with this. When they prayed, they magnified the bigness of God rather than the bigness of the problem. Now, here's the authority saying, if you preach again, here's what's going to happen. This is severe stuff here, you know. Severe persecution. And they prayed, and here's what they prayed. Lord, you are God. You made the, notice this, the heaven, the earth, and the sea. Three things, heaven, earth, and sea. Are any one of those things small? You ever been to the ocean before? And you stand, we go every year, every August, we go with our family, been since our kids were babies, you know. And we just like it. It's a time of refreshing, you know. And we'll just stand there and you just look out. And that's only what we see. You don't see land. You don't see anything. You just see water as far as the eye can see. You know there's land over there somewhere. You know, Europe's over there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It's massive. And then at night you look up and you see the heavens and you see the stars and down there you can actually see the Milky Way because there's no lights. You can actually see it. Right? Mm-hmm. He says, you made the heavens, the earth, and the sea. And all them that is, you've made it, Lord. So here's what I want to leave you with today is this. Whatever your problem is, whatever you're trying to overcome, whatever obstacle, we're talking about breaking barriers, aren't we? Whatever that is, whatever obstacle that is, start seeing God bigger than the problem. Start seeing God bigger than that. I would not tell you something to do something that I haven't already done myself. And I continue to do this. Father, I thank you that you're greater, that you're bigger than this current problem right here. Now, the devil wants, you know, he wants to magnify the problem. Okay? Do you ever, at nighttime when you're just goofing around, something like someone has a flashlight and you stand in front of that flashlight and you see your shadow's about 25 feet long. And you, every way you move your arms, that shadow moves with it, you know? Well, that's not a true representation about how big that you are. But it looks big, right? And that's what the devil does, is he tries to magnifying glass make something look bigger than it really is, right? But the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Well, how do you magnify the Lord? You keep focusing on what God says. Father, you're bigger, you're greater, you're bigger. Amen. Amen? And you look up and say, oh, Lord, you made these heavens. If you made these heavens, then you care for me. You're big enough, Lord, to get me out of this situation right now, no matter how bad it is. And listen, folks, most of the stuff, the problems that we've had in life are self-induced anyway. Most of the problems that we experience, are we brought it on ourselves. Isn't that true? But let me tell you something. He's still merciful. What Adam and Eve did was them doing it. God could have said, you selfish thing, look at what you did. Look at what you created. You know, could have just wiped them out right there and we wouldn't even be in the picture right now. But the Lord is very kind, very merciful. And even if we've made mistakes, which we all have, okay, we've all made mistakes. Now, you can't go back. You can't, you know, reverse time and go back and fix that situation, then go back a little further and fix that situation. You can't do that. I can't do that. None of us can do that. But that's why God is, you know, that song we sang this morning, Mighty to Save, that's not just past. That's right now. He's still a Savior for you. He'll save you from whatever you need saving from. Okay? Bad self-image, he can save you from that. Amen? A history of sickness and pain, he can deliver you from that. He has already done everything he's going to do about it. Amen? But he's waiting on us to accept that inward vision of what God has for us. Praise God. Amen. I perceive this morning that the Word of God has fallen on good ground today.
Amen.
I sense that. Yes. And you're never going to be the same. Your life will never be the same. One seed from God, which you got more than one today, one seed can change it all. Praise God. There's good seed and there's bad seed. Amen? Say, thank you, Jesus. A couple years ago, we were planting a flower garden, a little flower garden, just a little tiny thing, you know, in our front yard. Man, I got the best soil, got all this kind of stuff, you know, because I mean, I'm a guy and I like flowers. Is that okay? Is that all right? Praise God. I know what some of you are going to say about me afterwards. That's okay. But, you know, I got all this good soil and everything else, and all of a sudden I noticed there's these weeds growing up inside the flowers as they begin to grow. I'm like, what's the deal with this? I didn't plant that. You know? Well, things happen. You know, a seed from a weed will blow and land right there. You don't see that happening. You know? And all of a sudden it starts taking root, you know? But you got to get in there because some of those weeds will actually, they will literally choke the life out of that flower or that vegetable or whatever it is. It'll choke the life out of it. You know? So what do you have to do? You have to reach in there and yank that thing out and yank that seed out, that weed out of there, so it doesn't hinder the good growth. So sometimes we have to get in there and say, I'm going to yank out that seed. I know Uncle Fred said something to me about 25 years ago. It was a nasty thing. He was in a drunken state, and he said something to me that was just devastating to me. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, he will reach down there and jerk that thing up there because there was no truth to that whatsoever. Are you with me? And the Holy Ghost will just pull that thing out and you're like, I'm free. Amen?
Amen?
I'm free. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone here. Bless the Lord. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, our emotions, especially our emotions right now, Father. And we ask you right now, Father, to bring healing and restoration as only you can do. Healing and restoration in our lives right now, Lord. Thank you. Praise you. Let's stand up and lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Thank you for wholeness. Wholeness in people's minds and wills, emotions, wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. Right now. In Jesus' name. There's some things that you're going to see this week, particularly this coming week, you know, as you press into the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st of March. There's some divine explosions that are going to take place inside your heart and your mind of God's presence, God's power, God's goodness. And victory is imminent.
Amen.
For everyone here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Josh, you got something? Sure.
Just as we're closing, I just felt led to bring something up here. As you know, we're talking about breaking barriers. Well, the truth is, we can't really break any barriers without the Word of God. And I made the decision that I am sold out to God, you know, and the Word of God is going to be the final authority in my life for every decision, everything. Because a lot of times we look to people to meet our needs. We got to be complete in God because we can't rely on other people because they're going to know it. They're going to sense it. It's going to push people away. But when you're complete in God, people know it. There's something different about you. When you go into your workplace and you're just sitting there all happy and secure in God, and the presence of God is on you, people are going to see that, and that's what's going to draw people in.
Glory be to God.
No matter what you're dealing with, I'm telling you what, the Word of God can get right into that situation, tweak that situation, and turn it for the good.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So every day, make sure you're getting into the Word, because without that Word, none of this is going to work.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So.
Thank you, Lord.
Is that for a letter? To say that.
That's good. I receive that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You receive that?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.